The only thing I like more than a podcast advertiser is a repeat podcast advertiser. Support for today's episode of The Wolf Den comes from Podchaser. You remember Podchaser? Podchaser is the ultimate podcast directory, building the IMDb equivalent for podcasts. Rate and review individual podcast episodes, create a custom list of your favorite podcasts or podcast episodes, and easily open your favorite podcasts in your preferred listening app directly from Podchaser. I said the syllable pod many times just now. And starting this fall, you can find and follow your favorite podcast creators on Podchaser with Podchaser's new creator profile pages. Go to podchaser.com to learn more. Welcome to The Wolf Den, the podcast about the business and people of podcasting. I'm one of those two things, Lex Friedman, and today our guests are Chris and Pat Kelly from the aptly named podcast creative studio Kelly and Kelly and the hit CBC radio satire program This Is That. We're going to learn a lot more about Pat and Chris later on, but first, let's talk about shows we're jealous of, a section in which we highlight shows we like so much we wish we had made them ourselves. Chris, you go first. Do you have a show you're jealous of?
I have so many shows that I'm jealous of. I listen to so many podcasts. I love the Stitcher app because it tells you like how much time of your life you've wasted. Enjoyed. I love The Truth. I'm a huge fan because we make a lot of fictional podcasts. I love The Truth and all their production techniques. And then the other one that our office has been just obsessed with and we've been stealing a lot of inspiration from is it's a bit of a rough name. I gotta say, it's not the best name. It's called Uncover, not Uncovered, Uncover Escaping Nexium. And it's about this sex cult, based in upstate New York and with ties to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, where we are right now. And it's insane. It is an amazing podcast from the CBC.
Well, you had me at Sex Cult. And Pat, do you have a show you're jealous of?
Well, mine is, like Chris, I have a lot that I'm jealous of, but mine is maybe perhaps a little less sophisticated. I'm jealous of the podcast Spittin' Chicklets. It's a hockey podcast. Mostly because it is hosted by a fellow with a very thick Bostonian accent. And I just love the sound of it, and I love hearing insider hockey talk. Spittin' Chicklets.
I just like that you two could not be more Canadian.
We've already plugged the CBC and hockey. I mean,
it was pretty spot on. It used to be a rule when I did shows we're jealous of that I couldn't pick shows that we make in-house. And then I was like, we don't need rules. I'm going to go with two shows as well. We just launched only a trailer for this show so far, which is Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. Conan O'Brien is an up-and-coming comedian here in the States.
Okay.
But I have watched him tape some segments for the podcast live, and I don't want to spoil too much, but he was answering some fan questions, and I'm just sitting there in the studio. It's a room full of people watching Conan record, trying not to laugh out loud so that they won't get caught on the podcast recording. We don't want to be the PFT in the background on this one. And so... the question was, what's your favorite Pokemon character? And you've got Conan improvising Pokemon characters' names and then their descriptions. And I cannot do Conan-level comedy, but he was like, oh, my favorite one is Beely Bob, who is a toilet seat with a mustache. And it's Conan, and it's just so funny. So I cannot wait for that show to release its first episode. And then I also want to just plug Sold in America, which is a very, very non-funny, very serious show from Noor Taghori about sex trafficking in the U.S. And it is so poignant and so well-made. It's kind of makes you emotional. It makes me feel things. So there you have it. So Chris Kelly and Pat Kelly, the first obvious question, how are you related?
This is the question we get all the time, and we are not related at all.
What?
No. So we are
not the front door.
We are not brothers, cousins, sisters, any of the above. We are independent Kellys who
aren't we all God's children?
Yes, yes. Exactly.
We're work brothers, though. That's what I've been saying lately.
Yeah, but it's a very happy coincidence that we have the same last name, and it looks nice on the door.
Oh, it does. So when you refer to yourselves as Kelly and Kelly, which of you is first?
Pat. Ooh. Pat, I think.
Yeah.
He's older, so
I'm
it's
older,
like that's
so, yeah.
Seniority.
As it goes with Kelly's,
And when we started the company, our main URL for about, I don't know, 1 week before it got old was notreallybrothers.com. And we still own that URL.
When I was in college, I hosted a late night talk radio show with my friend Eli Friedman. He spelled Friedman differently from how I, Lex Friedman, spell it. But we refer to ourselves as Freedmen, plural, which was exciting. So let's start with the CBC, as so many conversations do. Remember that I'm an American and many of our listeners are Americans. And I want to be careful because I remember one time we had a guest lecturer when I was in elementary school and somebody said, how does it feel to be in America? And he's like, I'm from North America. I'm just as American as you. And it was a very angry Canadian. So if that's offensive, whoa, I apologize. It's the rare angry Canadian.
Very rare. Yeah.
But knowing that I know so little about the CBC, and most of my listeners are smarter than me, but still know very little about the CBC. Talk about your history with the CBC and, you know, how they began their expansion into podcasting.
Certainly. Well, Chris has a longer standing relationship with them, so maybe I'll let him go first.
My mother, this is the family business, actually. My mother founded the CBC. No, she worked for the CBC for 25 years as a host and reporter for the CBC. And then I joined.
Which, by the way, is the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation.
Right. That's the first thing we should lay out. Yes. So just, you know, that base level knowledge, the CBC is the government-funded broadcasting corporation. It's radio, it's TV, it's online, it's podcasts, and it's been around for over 80 years. It's kind of like the BBC. It's kind of like NPR, but it's more like the BBC than it is like NPR. And my mother was a radio show host for 25 years, and then I joined the family business in 2006 and made the first ever podcast for CBC. It was a music podcast called the CBC Radio 3 Music Podcast with Grant Lawrence. And yeah, that's when it all started for me, and I was,
what motivated you to do that? What made you say, hey, I want to start the first podcast here at the CBC?
Well, it wasn't my idea, sadly, but I was the first producer. And I actually had started my own podcast at the same time. It was like one of these novelty things that there's deja vu. Like around 2014, it felt like podcasts were recreated. And everyone was like, have you heard about podcasts? Well, like in 2005, when they kind of like first came out, it was like that. People were like making them and trying it out. And I was very much one of those early adopters where I was like, I'm going to make this podcast because it's new. And then I just kind of never looked back. And then when they were looking for producers, there was very few people who had any experience with podcasts. So yeah, that's how I got into that.
And so then this is, oh, go ahead.
No. And then Pat.
Yeah, and so then this is the show that we've been doing there for the last 9 years is a show that is really kind of it's a parody mimicry of public radio in Canada. But I can imagine you understand what that is. It's a similar tone that you might find on NPR or BBC. So we had this idea about a decade ago to do a parody, a satirical parody of public radio. And we made a little pilot to share with the folks at CBC, and they responded favorably to it, and we've been doing it ever since.
Got it. That's amazing. So it's comedic news stories, like you said, presented in the style of a real CBC radio public show. Mm-hmm. This is its final season. Is that right?
Yes.
It's 165 episodes, 500 stories. Why is now the time to end it?
Well, I think just there's a whole lot of reasons for ending it. I think that all good things should come to an end, and you know, we felt that maybe we've had all the creative output we can with this idea, and we certainly want to lend our talents to other projects. And you know, it just felt right. It felt like the time to move on from the show, and the other co-host of it, Peter Oldring. He was of the same line of thinking, too, that, you know, some things are just, it's okay to end things. And it just felt like the right time.
And, you know, you guys did such a good job with the tone you capture on the show that occasionally, more than once, news outlets have reported on stories coming out of This Is That, not realizing that they were satire. Did you expect that at the start? Was it a goal? Was that a victory?
No, it wasn't. It was very much, we were very naive at the beginning. And we set out with the sheer intent of parodying the CBC and making a comedy show and just having some sketches that sounded like real radio. And That's the one thing about the show is it's on radio. It's a podcast, but it's also on radio, and it gets blasted out to, you know, a million Canadians every week. And that's the nature of radio, is that people will be in their car and they may not have caught the part that's obviously fake or obviously a joke, and they're catching the part that's like really inflammatory, and they'll get tricked by it. And it happened, I'd say, in the first week of our show. We did a story about the Calgary Aquarium in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. First of all, there's no Calgary Aquarium, so that doesn't exist. That's the first flag. The second thing that was happening is it was shutting down. And to shut it down, you know, they didn't, you know, they couldn't sell the fish because that would, you know, you can't do that in the world of aquariums. So what they were going to do is they were going to hold a large barbecue and people could come by and pick out fish that they wanted to try for the first time. So a rare chance to have, you know.
Grilled manatee.
Yeah. And so that got a ton of calls. And that's when we were like, oh, we have this bizarre power and we should figure out how to use it. And so we started making more pointedly satirical stories after that, that had kind of two sides of an opinion. And it was pretty great.
That's amazing. Now, this is a radio show and a podcast. It could never be anything else. There's no way you could ever pull off This Is That Live. Am I right?
Incorrect.
Oh, my God.
Great tee up. Great setup. Alley-oop. Slam dunk. We have been...
Those are not hockey terms.
No, I know. I know. I was questioning myself before I even said them.
Chris actually knows very little about sports in general, so I'm amazed that those even came out of his mouth.
I've been playing NBA Jam on this old Super Nintendo.
That's why I know that term. Jammed it in. All right, so you're about to launch a 16-date live tour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the live tour is sort of an extension of the show that's come. We've been doing it for the last, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. But the live show is really a chance for us to kind of peel back the curtain, as you'd say, for the and let the audience into the booth and the process of making the show. Because one of the things that we do on the program is Peter and myself, who host the show, we actually do all the voices. And so we have all this stable of characters that kind of come out in the show. And I think an audience seeing that live for the first time is quite blown away at the fact that, you know, what they hear on the radio or in the podcast sounds so much bigger than what it actually is. So for us to get in front of an audience and do it live is really rewarding.
And it's
and there's a big improv component to making the show as well. And so for us to be able to do that in front of a live audience is you know, it kind of goes back to our roots a little bit.
Yeah.
I love that. So you founded Kelly & Kelly in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Yes, that is correct.
Why take the step of opening your own creative agency?
You know, I think that the idea was that we knew that we had a lot of creativity in us that could be applied to not only podcasting, but to video as well. So we do both audio and video at Kelly & Kelly. And we just, you know, knew that there was something about our sensibility and our approach to making comedy content that there was a need and a market for it, and we were excited about kind of going on our own and seeing what the temperature was for the work that we were doing. And it's been you know, proven to be successful over the last couple of years. And so it's an exciting time to be a content creator, and we wanted to do it for ourselves.
And more specifically, we had this like very rare, unique skill of like making comedic audio, which is like...
Yep.
It's a rarer thing to find. And we were like, you know, with the boom of podcasting going on, we were like, there's all these shows and things that we wanted to explore in audio. And, or, you know, we've been having people kind of come to us and ask our expertise and maybe getting us to produce it or something like that, because it is such a rare commodity and we've had such a long track record with it. I mean, outside of the CBC, there's very few places in Canada that put together audio shows at all. So, yeah.
And you're a creative agency as opposed to simply an audio or a podcasting company because of that video piece, or just to keep options open?
Yeah, I mean, I think early on we were maybe column A, keeping options open. We both had a tendency to like both mediums, and we weren't sure necessarily where we wanted to solely put our focus. But now I think it's transitioned into the idea of whatever medium best serves the idea. So there's certainly some projects that we've kind of got in the hopper now on the video side that they absolutely do need to be videos, and that type of comedy is a visual type of comedy. Yeah. And then, you know, we have creative ideas that are absolutely only belong in podcasting. So I think we're quite comfortable with this idea that we don't have to choose one or the other. It's sort of our sensibility is that it drives the choice.
I would like the record to show that I was trying to think of two fortune teller type people so that I could say that I also like two mediums, but I couldn't think of
it. It sounds like a cop drama.
It is, yes, isn't
exactly.
It?
I was thinking of that lady from Medium, and I was like, is her name Sylvia? I couldn't come up with it. Anyway, yeah. So you've got projects with CastBox and with Himalaya, which is a new podcasting app. You have some TV and film projects in the works. But I want to talk about another satirical show of yours. Dexter Guff is smarter than you, and you can be too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What is that? What is Dexter Guff?
Talking about this. And
actually,
you know what?
Let's tease it. Before you tell me, because I'm getting the note from my producer that I have to take a break. So before you tell me about Dexter Guff, the listeners are dying to know. But first, we're going to take a break to talk about other stuff. Hi, everybody. I have exciting news to share. Season 2 of Big Grande's Teacher's Lounge is out now on Earwolf and in your podcast apps. Wherever you're listening to this right now, you could also find Big Grande's Teacher Lounge Season 2. The show is about four incompetent high school teachers who try to keep it together, KIT, while doing everything wrong. These episodes with guests like Lauren Lapkus, Paul F. Tompkins, and Carl Tart were paywalled in Stitcher Premium, but now they're free. Listen, I don't mind you paying to hear Stitcher Premium stuff, but I also don't mind listening to stuff for free just because it's free. So if you haven't ponied up the cold, hard cash for Stitcher Premium, first of all, what is your problem? But second of all, see what you were missing by listening to the free season of Big Grande's Teacher's Lounge, which is out right now. In this season, the guys are rehired at Hamilton High School after making some lofty promises, like bringing the track team from last to fast and making the school newspaper one of the most popular publications in the world. This is a very funny show. Their new motto is overpromise and underdeliver, which I think is also the Wolf Den motto. The show stars Drew Tarver, Dan Lippert, Ryan Rosenberg, and John Mackey. Check out all of Season 2 of Big Grande's Teacher's Lounge now on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you're listening right now. Just this app. Just go search for it. You can listen while you search. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Just go try it. Just listen. Thank you. I know what you're thinking. Right now you're thinking, what's my one-stop shop for merch? For not just merch, but novelty items from all my favorite podcasts. There's got to be one. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking in your head right now. You're like, there must be a one-stop shop for my merch and novelty item needs. There's got to be one place where I can get posters and shirts and books and magnets. And you're like, no, maybe there isn't. Maybe there isn't a one-stop shop. Maybe it's just a thing that I want, but that doesn't exist in the world. And my friend, I'm here to tell you that you are wrong. You should have trusted your instinct. Yes, there is a one-stop shop, and that place is called Pod Swag. That's PODSWAG. Pod Swag. We've got a bunch of items like shirts, pins, magnets from the Magic Tavern guys, Chef Kevin, if you know that guy. Ugh. He doesn't help produce this show, so he gets an ugh from me. We've got crazy stuff, signed posters, books, unsigned posters, signed books, pretty much every permutation of books and signings that you can come up with. It's the only place where you can get merch for Marc Maron, Hollywood Handbook, Comedy Bang Bang, Are You Talking R.E.M. Re-Me? And those shows, but many, many Dunked on Basketball. I'm not kidding. We got merch for them right in that same store. All kinds of merch. I want you to check it out. Here's what you do. Go to podswag.com/wolfden. I'm going to ask where's this one up. Here's what I'm going to do. In fact, I am going to give myself a better call to action than every other Earwolf host because I help run PodSwag. The people who run PodSwag work for me on my team here at Stitcher/Midroll. So if you go to podswag.com and use the promo code WolfDen, it's going to be 10% off. We don't have a sale right now. I'm giving you 10% off as I read this ad because I have that power. And when you have very limited powers, you wield them whenever you can. So if you go to podswag.com and use the promo code WolfDen, you're going to get 10% off everything in the store for the first, call it, 100 customers. So you better hurry up. You better go to PodSwag right now. Remember to use my promo code WolfDen. You're going to save 10%. Thank you. Podswag.com. We're back with Chris and Pat Kelly from Kelly and Kelly and the hit CBC show This Is That and the people behind Dexter Guff is Smarter Than You and You Can Be Too. You were about, before I rudely interrupted you to put some ads in, you were about to tell us what the hell Dexter Guff is.
Yes, what the hell is Dexter Guff? Well, Dexter Guff is a show that we did for Panoply. And it stemmed from our interest and love of kind of mimicry and parody. And we had always sort of noodled around with this character, Dexter Guff, with Peter Oldring, the very talented Peter Oldring who plays Dexter Guff. And we sort of saw this rise in certainly the podcasting space of, and this is a term we didn't use at the beginning, but sort of this bro thought leader
type.
And certainly there's a wide dearth of shows like that in podcasting.
Tim Ferriss, Gary Vaynerchuk, Lewis Howes, what's the Grant Cardone, keep going.
I mean, you can
go
say
on
names
and on
all day.
No, you could. I can make up names all day too.
Yes,
if that's interesting.
Yeah. And anyway, we were just really drawn to that character, thinking that there's something really entertaining about this kind of a bombastic know-it-all, which is, we kind of live in a bit of a culture where everybody sort of seems to be that these days. And Peter just started sort of presenting us with this character, and we loved the sound and tone of it, and felt that there was maybe a show to be had there. And working with John Dryden at Panoply, he sort of helped us see that maybe there was an opportunity to weave in some narrative to the show, and create kind of a world behind what you'd hear on the microphone, and hear this character of Dexter Guff maybe slightly unravel.
As he tells you how to live your life.
As he tells you how to live your life, he slightly unravels. But I think we're hoping to revisit that project, actually, because we do love the character, and I think that, you know, we were maybe slightly just a little bit ahead of the curve as far as a larger audience knowing the reference of the type of person that we were going for. But he certainly is. I mean, I personally could listen to Dexter Guff all day long.
Do you think there'll be more?
We're trying to figure that out because, as you know, Panoply is out of the content business now. So we're just trying to sort that out and see if we can give Dex a new life.
But if anybody knows Dexter, he always pulls up, from the ashes, and he'll be back.
He lands on his feet.
He lands on his feet.
Okay. I can see in my notes when I get to the show that I'm most excited to talk to you about. But before we get to the show I'm most excited about, there's the show I'm penultimately excited to talk to you about, which is Road Trip Radio. If memory serves, it was a 13-part family-friendly podcast celebrating the magic of summertime adventures, combining elements of documentary, comedy, and more. How does this come about?
Well, it was, this was another idea that we'd sort of lived with for a long time. When we sort of saw the rise of podcasting, we realized that there was sort of a limited catalog for families. And our show, and maybe this sort of speaks to the sophistication of our comedy, but our CBC radio show, This Is That, a common response we got from people is that the families really enjoyed listening to it as a shared experience in the car. And so we thought, maybe there's something there where we could create a comedy show that's maybe slightly educational, but does focus on this idea that, dad, mom, brother, sister, everybody in the family can enjoy listening to one thing and all find different touch points in that show to kind of get something from it. So I think we kind of accomplished that. We had some humor in there that was maybe for the parents, and then, stuff that would maybe satisfy the curiosity of kids. And that's, again, another one that I think we'd like to revisit.
I would never use this podcast for blatant self-promotion, but my producer, Harry, pointed out to me that Road Trip Radio is like perfectly crafted for me, as I do a podcast about parenting, and it's called Turning This Car Around. So you've combined driving and kids, which is also what my show is like. So I feel like even though you are not brothers yourselves, I feel like the three of us are brothers.
Yeah, I mean,
You are unconvinced.
No, I am. I'm just trying to work through the logistics of who's going to change their last name.
I'm happy to be a Kelly.
Okay, perfect. There we go.
Yeah.
Because when people call me telemarketers and whatnot, and they call me Friedman, it makes me so angry. I would like to just lose that anger for my life. It's harder to mispronounce Kelly.
Yeah, very few people get Kelly wrong.
Although a lot of people sometimes, they'll ask if it's spelled with an I.
No.
Which always confuses me. Yeah, no, I can't believe, have you ever seen somebody with the last name Kelly spelt with an I?
K-E-L-L-I?
Yeah.
No. That doesn't exist.
That's bad.
No, that doesn't exist.
So you also made a true crime podcast, a parody show that you made with CastBox. It was not A Very Fatal Murder, which I believe you've talked about in other interviews, came out while you were brainstorming ideas for the show that became This Sounds Serious.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Vincer, who had been at CastBox, talked to us a bit about This Sounds Serious. But give our listeners how you would describe, what's the log line? What's the pitch for This Sounds Serious?
We're both like pointing at each other. We're like, what is the log line? Yeah. Well, okay, so the log line for This Sounds Serious is that it's a fictional true crime series, a comedic fictional true crime series, okay? So it's actually an anthology. There's multiple seasons in the works, and every season's a different story. Season one is about a 1988. Yeah, it's about a 911 call that's about a 1990s Florida weatherman who is drowned in his own waterbed. And that's the case for season one.
The primary suspect is his twin brother, Daniel Bronstadt.
What took me some time to appreciate was how accurate the title is, because A Very Fatal Murder said, hey, let's take the format and let's hit multiple jokes per page.
Yeah.
And let's parody every trope we can all at the same time, constantly. And then I went into This Sounds Serious knowing exactly what it was, and repeatedly was like, wait, are they being serious right now? Like, is this part real? Is this real? Because it does literally sound serious. And I'm guessing that was part of the title. Like, the title is attempting to convey that, and that is part of what you're going for, or I just have lost all my comedic sensibilities. Which is it?
No, that's exactly right. We grappled with the title, obviously, as you said, with this idea of holding it up against A Very Fatal Murder. We didn't want the title to necessarily be sort of a parody title. And I forget how we arrived at it, but anyway.
Well, what it was,
This Sounds Serious seemed to sort of capture the tone of what we're going for, but also it's a phrase, you know. Oh, this sounds serious.
Well, it was because we were obsessed with this 911 idea, and we were like, oh, maybe every season starts with the 911 call. And originally we were trying to think of what the operator says when you call 911. And for a brief period of time, it was called, what's your emergency?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
What's your emergency? Just doesn't really have the ring.
But anyway, we arrived at This Sounds Serious, and we do think of it now as a great title to hold, sort of be the umbrella for, as Chris said, multiple seasons that are totally unrelated and have different stories, but they all sound serious.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm constantly amused, and it's funny. I was listening to the show not that long ago, and you had like clips of, as the host is saying how she loves 911 calls, you had clips of multiple operators saying 911 was your emergency, 911 was your emergency. I love that like 911 is branded 911. Like, not emergency services, not anything else, but like our number is our brand.
Right.
I like that. I think that's, it's, I think it's great.
It's on brand for them. Yes.
So how did this story come about? You wanted to do a parody. Did you approach CastBox with the idea? Did they say, hey, will you guys make something funny for us? Did they say, hey, let's do a true crime thing? Like, how did this happen?
Yeah, it wasn't necessarily pointed towards, creating a true crime or a parody. I think that what they were sort of drawn to was obviously some of the work that we had done on This Is That, which is these short, very involved audio documentaries. And, we knew that we wanted to sort of apply that sound design to a longer story. And again, we thought, well, let's do a parody of a true crime and just add all the production elements that we were thinking. But then again, yes, as you mentioned, The Very Fatal Murder came out and was really on point with the comedy in that. And so then we decided, well, maybe there's something more interesting here for us, which is to really craft a story that is, despite being fake or comedic, actually, you know, provides the audience with a little bit of value from a storytelling perspective. And so that's what we did. And Dave Shumpka, who is a podcaster in his own right, who works with us, kind of took the lead on writing the story, and he did a fantastic job of thinking the narrative through. And then when you're applying all the things that go into it, as far as, you know, television show parodies or fake songs and all that kind of stuff, that's the stuff we really love doing.
You guys love satire. You love I don't know how Canadians say it, homage. You love paying tribute to formats that you find, I guess, both enjoyable and parodyable, satirizable.
Mm-hmm.
Are there, I'm not asking you to spoil shows that haven't come out yet, but do you think that's a well you will revisit in terms of finding opportunities to parody other popular forms of audio?
It's a great starting point, at least. It gives you like an inherent framework, and I think that's maybe what we're attracted to. It's like easy to see where the jokes fit in some ways. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely an inspiration point. We are noodling around with some things that don't fall in that category. Mm-hmm. We definitely are trying to do some stuff that's not, this sounds super real. Like, oh, this could be real. Like if you don't know it's a comedy, sometimes with our material, there's like this dupe factor. And we'd like to do one where there's like, you know, yeah, there's an invisible fourth wall and you're just flying the wall and it's like a bit more traditional. We'd definitely like to experiment with that.
I love it. And of course, you guys now know our contact information and you are aware that we exist and have like Earwolf and Stitcher Premium and all kinds of other opportunities. My friend and colleague Dan Ossett, who was a recent guest on this very show, said to me, hey, you're doing a good job pitching Stitcher Premium to every guest you have on the show. So I just like to keep that streak alive.
Well, I've been listening to Wolverine as inspiration for some other stuff. So like I'm taking lots of notes.
I know a guy. Call me. Your website lists partnerships with companies like Google and Lululemon, obviously Panoply. I'm assuming you guys take no blame for the changes of Panoply. But what does it mean for you to have these companies as partners? What is that side of, you know, when you're talking about a Google or a Lululemon, et cetera, what does it mean for those folks to be partners? Does that mean you're making content for them, with them?
Yes, in some cases it's making things for them. Hopefully in a perfect scenario for us, it's in collaboration. I think that obviously people should be involved in the creation of their content that they're putting out on behalf of their company. But, you know, I think in the thread throughout all of the sort of client work that we do is that people come to us with this idea of wanting to make their stuff more affable and more accessible using humor. And so that is kind of our role in working with these companies, and it's honestly it's one of the greatest things you can do, and we're just so fortunate and lucky to be able to have this kind of perspective on the world, and that people need it and want it, and they want things to not always be necessarily serious and heavy-handed all the time, and that's kind of where we come in. So it's been a real treat working in different capacities with various clients, but in some cases it's creating original stuff. Sometimes it's just turning stuff that they have into content that may be a little bit more humorous, and sometimes it's starting from scratch with them and thinking up something.
Well, gentlemen, a lot of podcasters and aspiring podcasters listen to The Wolf Den, so I always ask our guests to share some advice. What's one piece of advice you think that people who want to get into podcasting should know?
Well, I personally, because we've just gone through this, we've learned a lesson over the last few months, is that if you're going to be doing a scripted series, have all the scripts written before you start production.
That's a great, great tip, Pat. Mm-hmm. Great tip. Mine, I've been thinking about this a lot lately, is I think there's a lot of people out there that understand sound design for film and like making and directing for film and like producing things for film. I think that those roles are very understood. Lesser so are there people who are like coming up through colleges or universities going like, oh, I want to be a fictional podcast director, or I want to be a fictional podcast sound designer. Those are jobs that are super needed right now. I mean, I want to hire somebody like that who knows how to take this audio and turn it into, you know, do all the tricks and all the bells and whistles and turn it into something like really high quality. And I'm definitely having a hard time finding those people. It's like, it's just as exciting and actually even easier than making a feature film to make, you know, like something at the scale of Wolverine, which is incredible. Like, it's like a really good show. It's like something like This Sounds Serious. It takes a lot of work, but not nearly as much work as actually doing like a movie or a TV show. So, I definitely encourage people to start putting director of fictional audio podcast in your brain as aspirational job.
Yes, and what many of our listeners don't realize is that, you know, for example, with this show, I'm not even here when the interview is recorded. All of my questions are added in post based on what guests improvise on their own.
It's amazing.
And it takes a lot of work, but it's worth it. We have one more segment. We have a little bit of time left. It's the only segment of The Wolf Den with a theme song, and it's called The Wolf Den Mailbag.
The Wolf Den Mailbag. Don't be happy, don't be sad. Just sit back and enjoy this week's Wolf Den Mailbag.
This week's question comes from Devin Arpez, who asks, sometimes podcasts I love disappear for weeks at a time without any warning. Then they pop back up with new episodes, and then they disappear again. I realize hosts have lives, debatable, but does that have to come at the expense of weekly content? How important is regular, consistent releasing when making a show? Do you guys have opinions on that?
Oh, totally. I think it should be very clear from the outset how much content you're going to get and when it's coming out. Like, we make seasons and we try and be very clear as to how long the season is and when it's launching. So, yeah, like, we're not going to have a season of This Sounds Serious for a while. So, you know, we'd like to put that word out there that it's like, oh, it's coming, it's being worked on. But when it comes out, it's going to be consistent. I think that's the most important part. It's like people want to know when they're going to be getting their content. I mean, for example, like Reply All and Radiolab are quite inconsistent with, like, are they a weekly show? Do they have seasons? Is it like, and it, I found it, it's like, I'll drop off, and I'll drop off for months. Like, I will not come back and check in until, like, I see something on social media or something like that, or get some big marketing push from them. It's like consistency. It's like setting the expectation for the audience and then maintaining the expectation. It could just be 4 weeks, but just let the audience know that it's 4 weeks.
And there's a couple ways I feel like you can see this happening in action, where, like, if you have a show that consistently releases at a given time and then doesn't, you will hear from your fans very quickly, where's the episode? When is the episode coming? Yeah. Give me that episode. And I think, but I agree with both of you. It's important to, it's important to satisfy listeners' expectations. I know that come Monday, I'm going to get a new Magic Tavern, and I know, like, those days that shows are going to be there. And if they're not there, I'm going to be angry. And you wouldn't like me when I was angry. You might. Listen, it has been a true pleasure and a delight to talk to you both. And I know that you guys make tons of content. You're about to go on tour. If I'm a listener of The Wolf Den and I'm brand new to Kelly and Kelly, where do I go to find more Chris and Pat? Where do I go to find information about you, your shows, your tour, etc.?
You can head to our website, which is kellykelly.ca.
Yeah. Or we're on
CA, short for Canada.
Yes.
That's a Canadian website. It's very cool to have one of those websites here in Canada. May not translate.
Does everybody say .ca? Does anybody ever go .ca, .ca? No?
No, it's interesting. .ca.
That slang never caught on.
Yeah.
Do you know the original? Oh, go ahead.
No, the other thing, you can catch us on Instagram at Kelly and Kelly Creative on Instagram.
I have found that many Canadians don't know this, but the original name of Canada was CND. And then they visited somebody in the States, and somebody said, hey, where are you from? And they said, I'm from CND. And the American was like, I don't understand. Can you spell that? And they said, yeah, C-A-N-A.
Oh, no.
Okay. So that's my Canada joke.
There you go.
It has been a true joy and delight to talk to you, Chris and Pat. So follow them, find them, listen to the shows. They are so good. This is my enthusiastic endorsement for This Sounds Serious, which is, despite not being that Slate show, a slow burn and delightful, and I highly recommend it. So thanks to you both. Thanks to Harry Nelson, John Delore, Jared O'Connell. The Wolf Den Mailbag theme is by Casey Holford. You can subscribe to this show at Earwolf, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, whatever the heck app you want, maybe even CastBox. That's where you can find these guys, so why not? And don't forget to rate us on whatever app you listen to, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks, Lex.
Our thanks again to Podchaser. You can tell us what you thought about this episode by leaving a review right there on Podchaser, the only platform with ratings and reviews for individual podcast episodes. I give this one 2 enthusiastic podcasts up. And if you're a podcast creator, you can register for early access to Podchaser creator profile pages at podchaser.com/creators and get a free t-shirt and sticker branded with your podcast's artwork. Thanks, Podchaser, and thank you for listening.
Want to hear Earwolf pilots before anybody else? We made a podcast feed just for you. Earwolf Presents is full of great stuff, like preview episodes for upcoming shows, peeks behind the paywall, and pilots for podcasts that haven't even been made yet. It's like getting to listen in behind the scenes here at Earwolf. Starting January 21st, Earwolf Presents will have a bunch of new pilots for you, like Edgar Montplaisir's The Wokest. Catch conversations between the wokest man in the world and comedians like Risa Lechea. Also, hear upcoming pilots The Florida Cast, Wow, You're Native American Too?, This Week in Sports, and Carl Alarm all throughout the month. Let us know what you think of them with hashtag Earwolf Presents. Subscribe to Earwolf Presents to hear more great episodes from around the network and behind the paywall, like an episode of Drew Tarver's Strictly Business with Derek Contrera, or Act One of Matt Besser's punk musical, Stolen Idea. Just search for Earwolf Presents in your podcast app and subscribe so you don't miss an update.